Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Thinking big thoughts so you don't have to.
Sad.
Here's John Williams.
Something today made me sad. Ken Violetta, you'll be asked to guess what it is in just moments. Oh, that'll be fun. I'll stay tuned, John.
Glad there's the bright side.
John Williams is here all the way until 3 o'clock weekdays on Saturday. Hey, that's tomorrow. We're in at 10 a.m. after Mr. Fix-It, Lou Manfredini. We go to noon. On Saturdays on social media, I'm WGN King John. That's on Insta, on Twitter, on Facebook. We have a daily web poll question, too. The news click today, it's asking you about the players in the NFL taking a knee again, and where do you stand on that? Yesterday's news click was about the popular film Oscar category. Do you think that's a good idea? And 55% of you said no, but 45% of you said yes, which is kind of 50-50, meaning a lot of you kind of like the idea. Saw an interesting article in Slate magazine yesterday online, and it said, okay, here's the movies that won for the last 10 years. Here's a really popular film that didn't. And I thought, oh, no, I think I see their point.
They're trying to get people to come to the movie theater.
And they're trying to gin up a little support maybe for some of those films. And I was just looking at that going, well, actually, we all kind of did like that movie better than that movie.
It's true. But is it about popularity, or is it about the quality of the film?
Well, isn't that a good question, Kim Gordon?
And also remember, they made those picks for that list on Slate with the benefit of hindsight. So they're looking back like, what was the best popular film from that year? Oh, we'll pick that one. That might have been what they would pick for the Oscar. But what if they pick popular movies that 5-10 years later you look back like, ugh, terrible? Which is what happens with the best picture picks sometimes, too. So,
like Titanic?
I think that's very debatable.
Just because it's a blockbuster doesn't mean it's great. And also when the films come out for the nominations, that makes me want to go see those films and find out more about them. Maybe I like it, maybe I don't, but
at least it's nominated.
I might not go.
Right, I got to be in the conversation.
Right.
What's the matter, Griff? Why are you sitting that way?
Oh, I'm not sitting any kind of way.
You're sitting the kind of way like, oh boy.
I'm mulling over what you said about Titanic, where you just badmouthed it. I see where you're coming from, but it's a great and terrible movie.
I love Titanic.
It's both. It's both at the same time.
Well, look at that. So we have I hate it, I love it, and I love it, and I hate it.
But that was a rare occurrence where the most popular movie did win Best Picture. Yeah.
Well, Brian Tallarico from RogerEbert.com, Griffin and I are going to kick this round a little more seriously tomorrow. But you know why I said sad, Kim? Violetta, Kim, Griff, why do you think I am sad today? And I'll tell you why I became sad today. Here's my clue. I was walking through Nordstrom on my way to work. That's today's Why Is John Sad clue.
Usually that makes me extremely happy, so I'm not quite sure.
What could I have seen at Nordstrom that would have been a wah-wah?
I bet winter coats.
Winter coats! Ding, 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 ding! I'm walking through Nordstrom.
Ah!
They've got fall clothes out, for crying out loud. Long sleeves, flannel stuff, heavy garments. And I thought, no!
I was about to buy a corduroy skirt the other day. I'm like, what am I doing?
I bought some gloves.
I was going to buy a corduroy skirt, too. And then I went, wait, I don't wear skirts. Oh, my God. Gloves, too? Yeah, I mean, they're lovely. They're lovely, these clothes. And I understand how retail works, but
that's exciting to me. I like a good pair of boots. I'm always ready to buy
them in November, lady. I don't want to see them in August.
Well, now the summer stuff is on sale.
Yeah, that's true. Actually, there's the glasses half full. There's the bright side. You can get decent summer stuff right now for
the last month.
Really good prices and who knows? You know, we may be swimming until the last day of September. So I'm not going to rush summer out of the way any quicker than is absolutely necessary. Block parties are a staple. I was driving through Western Spring in LaGrange about a weekend ago, and it seemed like every street was closed off. And, of course, it happens in Chicago, too. Here's something I never thought about, though. In Chicago, a lot of street parties, if you will, just pop up. People don't get the, you know, certification in the official form, and then they put the standards up at the end of the street, and it's a sanctioned block party. Sometimes they just have large, somewhat spontaneous gatherings. And it is these kind of events, Eddie Johnson says,
that you have violence. Here's a statistic from today's Chicago Sun Crimes. It says, at a press conference yesterday at police headquarters, Superintendent Johnson said that an examination of the violence this past weekend when 71 were shot, including 12 fatally, found that 20% of the victims had attended street parties that had not been officially permitted by the city.
Well...
Now, I don't love the idea of them stamping out everybody's little fire because they're just having a nice time, but I don't know what to tell the police to do. I'm not sure that this is an end-all. I'm not even sure if it's a good start. I know that the bait trucks are a bad idea, but I understand the frustration when it's 10 p.m., midnight, 2 a.m., and people are all in large groups gathering on streets. And if the cops show up and say, you don't have a permit for this gathering, then you have to disperse. And I understand the logic behind that.
Definitely. I think, though, that all block parties or parties that I've been to that block streets definitely had permits. So I wonder if it's just you're going to run into the same problem where it's certain neighborhoods don't get the permits and then only certain neighborhoods are getting in trouble.
And then it looks racially targeted or profiled, and there's that. But
whatever happened to the good old days when mom or dad and we're both within a reasonable distance to each other in age, so you know, at least you and I are, John, but you had to be in the house by X. If you were not, you're in a hole.
Yeah.
And it was not going to be a fun place to be.
That ain't happening in these
neighborhoods. That's one of the problems. Nobody is in charge except the kids.
And then they've got these bait trucks, which the city was doing on the 2nd of August, which preceded last weekend's violence. But the bait truck, I don't know if you've been following this story, but the bait truck is where they park a semi-tractor trailer on a corner on the south side. In the south side rail yards, they've had problems with thieves breaking into rail cars and stealing things. So the railroad has this problem, and there's a sting operation with the Chicago police.
Not anymore.
Yeah, have they canceled that? Is that what you said?
Norfolk Southern, according to the Tribune, has apologized for its use of its controversial bait truck operation in the Englewood neighborhood and said it would not use the tactic again. And it was that comes in a letter that was in response to a Tribune editorial about the bait truck.
I saw the editorial this morning. I didn't know that the railroad had done that.
Yes, they did. Our colleague Jeremy Gorner wrote that story.
I'm glad to hear that. I thought that was a really bad idea. I think it's a bad idea to begin with, but right now, for instance, say it had worked, and I guess it had. They arrested a guy. He sees the truck parked in the corner there. He jerry-rigs the bus open, the lock, finds boxes of Nike shoes in there. Suddenly he's got some Nike shoes. The cops jump out and bust him. That's a bad idea. That's a bad idea. It's a bad idea right now. It's probably a bad idea anyway. It's not entrapment because nobody came up to the people and said, hey, there's a truck. Let's open it up and see what's inside and then cooperated in the theft. That would be entrapment. This wasn't that. They just parked the truck there, and then people start to feast on it, and then they arrest them. So it's not entrapment, but it's also bad policing, and I'm glad that the editorial in the Trib, I know Kristen McQuarrie, she may have written the editorial, talked about that on our Mincing Rascals podcast that we posted yesterday afternoon. If you haven't heard it, listen for the Mincing Rascals. But that's just a bad idea.
I agree with you, but in a lot of these cases, you also hear that they know who the bad guys are, but they can't get them on anything. So it's one of those, I agree with you that it's low-hanging fruit, it's bad policing. But if you can get them on something because you know they've done something wrong,
yeah.
It's a gray area. But
if there was a gang that was feasting on the rail cars and this got those guys and then the rail car problem went away, okay, I'm in. But if this is any ethically challenged person just happens to decide they're going to bust in, and it's not the people stealing from the rail cars.
Right. It's a smaller organization. It's just one guy who decides to do it instead of a larger
I think it's a crime of opportunity for some of these people, and I think there's plenty of us who are will. And I know it's not you, and I know it's not me, and I know it's not a lot of nice people, but there are some people who will take advantage of that situation. I would prefer we don't present them with that situation. Here's your chance to call or text 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. Two questions for you to sound off on the table. One is the policing of those block parties, and the other one is those bait trucks. Good idea or a bad one? You tell me now on WGN. After the 1:30 WGN News, The Ringer has the 100 best TV episodes of the century. Now, why am I playing this?
What do you see? The sun is rising.
Because in the series Breaking Bad, I think one of the best things I saw on television this century was the episode where they show them making, packing, and going international with their with that blue meth that they were cooking. But that episode is not in the top 10. They do have an episode from Breaking Bad in the top 10. We'll walk you through some of them and talk about best TV of the century after the 1:30 WGN News. We're talking about the policing in Chicago. And what did you make of that sting operation that even the cops said, okay, we won't do that anymore? Bait truck! Julie, you're on WGN Radio. What did you want to say about it? You're on the air.
Oh, hi, John. Actually, I wanted to take Steve to task for something he said yesterday. I was listening to my favorite podcast, and you were talking about this issue. And Steve indicated that especially when police used female officers for prostitution, it was entrapment, and that we would approach the cars and so forth. And I probably made 400 arrests, and we had strict rules. We were approached. We had to be asked the amount and act. And it's in the neighborhood, John, where you live today. And I was just one officer, and at the time the neighborhood was changing. And there were kids, you know, young families. I'm sure you can see that now.
Yeah.
And you didn't want this going on in your vestibules or alleyways. And right now, at this time, I can see where robbing an empty truck, burglarizing an empty truck, seems kind of counterproductive to the real problems. But I just wanted to clarify that it's not entrapment when someone goes to an effort to take something.
Yeah, I don't remember exactly Steve Bertrand's words in the Mincing Rascals podcast. Thank you for listening to that and plugging that. And I do recall Steve Bertrand saying, well, back in the 70s, they had these prostitution stings, so you were one of the female decoys for the cops, huh?
Yes, yes. And, you know, a lot of us had to do it, and we did it in areas where prostitution was a problem. We didn't end it. We moved it. And, you know, it's in the Wrigleyville. It was in the Wrigleyville area.
It's not there anymore. I mean, whatever the problems are, that area. It's funny. I live there. I feel that area in a lot of ways for its good and its bad. But that's not an issue that I see at all in that neighborhood.
Right. It was a huge problem back in the late 70s, early 80s.
Hmm. I appreciate your call. Thanks for straightening us out. I'll tell Steve Bertrand.
Okay, thanks, John.
Julie, I appreciate you listening. Thanks for the plug. You know, there was an article in the Chicago Tribune last week. I don't know if you guys saw it, but it was a reporter who said, okay, here's what's happened to Wrigleyville since the Ricketts took it over and put up that hotel and complex on the west side. And then on the south side, they've got that other retail complex going up as well. So while it's a neighborhood, it's now changing. And so they wrote about it, and the piece in the Trib said that they've made it boring and tedious and terrible. Like you miss that crappy McDonald's and parking lot? I do not understand that. I do not understand that. I'm not sure who gets to win this conversation, but if you live in that neighborhood like I do, you like what they're doing. Now, if you're a visitor and you want crappy old Wrigleyville and that had a certain smell and vibe that you liked, and literally the guy pined for the beer and urine smells of the neighborhood, then too bad for you. But I think the people whose interests are more vested there are the people paying property taxes there, and I think they have improved that area immensely.
P
People just don't like change.
I think that's part of it. In two years,
you won't even remember what it was.
Right. If they ever tear down that hotel, people are going to go, oh, I missed that old four-story. It was a boutique hotel with five rockin' restaurants right there across from the park.
And the option for McDonald's. I might have been mad if they didn't put a McDonald's back in.
There's a McDonald's there. It's not like the old McDonald's. But
it's better.
I know. I hate to tell you this, but this one may be better, and you're going to miss it. The old crappy one, I guess. Jim, you're on WGN Radio. What did you make of that bait truck thing? Jim, you're on the air.
Hey, John, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Well, the way I look at it is that a criminal is going to steal regardless, okay? Whether that trailer was on the street in the neighborhood, whether it was in the rail yard, they're going to get away in there. Well, this way, how do I say this? A good person isn't going to take the opportunity to break into a trailer that's there. Don't they need to be disciplined?
Yeah, I don't know.
He's saying better the bait truck than your car or than something else that they're actually stealing.
I'm not sure.
If my neighbor leaves their window open in their car, I'm certainly not going to go in there just because the window was down.
Here's the scene that I'm thinking. At Christmas time, FedEx is delivering and Amazon's delivering a lot of boxes to people's doorsteps and they leave them there. And you will this winter see pictures of people walking along the street, looking there, going, hey, there's a box, and they grab it off of people's doorstep and take it home. I don't know if those people are criminals the rest of the time, but given the opportunity, it's amazing how many average-looking Joes and Schmoes will just grab something and then they've suddenly committed a crime. I have no sympathy for these people. They're bad people, but I'm not sure that they're what you and I would call criminals all of the time. So I'm all for lessening the opportunity for people to fall victim to their poorest instincts. And this would be an example of that.
Okay.
Well, you and I are obviously in different places on this. But if I get to be king, we ain't baiting people on the south side. I appreciate your phone call, though. We don't all have to agree. It's 128 on WGN. Okay, thank you, David. This is John Williams. We're in the Allstate Skyline Studio. WGN Radio's John Williams Show goes weekdays from 1 to 3. That's me. And then we'll be on tomorrow from 10 a.m. till 12 noon. We'll talk a little bit about that Oscars stuff. And if you are a fan of, or maybe you haven't yet heard, our podcast called The Mincing Rascals. We feature a segment from that on our Saturday show as well. Dean Richards was on with Steve Cochran and Justin and the gang this morning as they were doing their show from the Saturday Night Live exhibit at the Broadcast Museum downtown. It was a really nice show, of course. And they were talking about movies that are out right now. Crazy Rich Asians is a hot film this weekend. And it was surprising because Dean said there were three movies that he gave either a B-plus or an A to. He liked them all so much. He liked Meg, which is this story about a giant white shark.
The Meg. Yeah.
And he said, I cannot believe I'm going to give an A rating to a thriller about a shark. This is not Sharknado and it's not Jaws. He said it really works. It's surprisingly good. He gave it an A. Dog Days, he loved that movie. And if you're a person who's had a dog or loves dogs, and that's like America, he said, this is just such a fun movie. And he, boy, now Dean, and I believe he talked about Black Klansman. Yeah, I know he did because it was the one that Denzel Washington's son is in. And he thought that that was a good film too. He had three movies that he liked this weekend for you. But we're talking TV in this segment right now. So, there's a website called The Ringer. I got that right, Griffin? It's called The Ringer?
Yep.
What do they do on The Ringer?
Sports and pop culture.
So they have a list.
Tech.
And this is what everybody does, especially if they want to make people crazy. Here's the 100 best songs of the 90s. Here's the 100 best movies with dogs. Here's the, you do that and somebody's going to be upset about it, right? Or at least I will be. They have the 100 best episodes of TV of this century. So you have 18 years of all television so far. They've cherry-picked the 100 best episodes and counted them down from number 100 to number 1.
One important and controversial thing about the list is that they only picked one episode from each show.
Oh, well, that explains why my episode from Breaking Bad isn't there. right? Because the one where they did that montage of Crystal Blue Persuasion. I'm like, this is one of the greatest things I've seen.
I think that is a personal... I don't know. I mean, everybody...
You don't remember when that episode came out and everybody was listening to that song the next day?
I haven't finished Breaking Bad.
Have you gotten to that episode yet?
I don't think so.
Okay. Well, let me get back to me when you have. You've seen that scene.
No, I hear you. Well, no, I think that was their concern, was that five shows might dominate the top 50 if they allowed shows to have repeat entries.
Because for some of us, it would be Mad Men, Mad Men, Mad Men, or West Wing, West Wing, West Wing, or... Breaking Bad, Breaking Bad, et cetera,
right.
Game of Thrones. And those all make appearances for sure. Number 18 on the list is the very first episode, the pilot of Friday Night Lights. I remember that episode. I looked at a little of it today, and I remember thinking, wow, for a first episode, they are already in stride. That was such a good series, and that was such a good app. Number 17 on the list is the Oprah Winfrey Show, one of her bizarrest interviews. The reason it's on there is because of the guest interview. You want to take a shot at it? Who would that be?
The guy that jumped on the couch?
Yes.
Tom Cruise?
Yes. The Tom Cruise episode with Oprah is number 17. I think that's selling our century short.
He's not the guy who jumped on the couch, Tom Cruise. He's Tom Cruise, the guy who jumped on the couch.
No, see, I see it backwards.
Somebody else jumps on a couch, no big deal. Tom Cruise, who may or may not have been medicated that day, he was in love with Katie, and he was in love. Tom, I've never seen you this way. Woo-hoo, he stands up on the sofa.
My guess is that he would certainly not admit to being medicated, or at least there was a time where he was anti-medication for mood disorder or anything like that. Yeah. Anyway, that was another great Tom Cruise TV moment, was when he called Matt Lauer glib for refuting his disbelief that depression was real.
Well, it was for postpartum as well.
Oh, that's specifically postpartum. Yeah, yeah.
Number 16 on the list. Here you go, Griff. How many episodes of The Office would be on the best 100 for some people this century? More than one, but
yeah.
They had to pick one. They did the dinner party. Or the dinner
right.
party.
Dinner party from season 4. That was really tough for me to swallow. That's the wrong pick.
Oh, really?
Absolutely the wrong pick.
What is the right pick?
I would go, well, boy.
They're like children. You love them all. But pick one child from your nursery.
Yeah, there is an episode from season 3 called Women's Appreciation. Where Michael goes to the mall with all the women from The Office. That's my personal favorite.
And just does a bunch of stupid sexist... ignorant stuff?
Yeah, but that's not why I love it. that's a great one, but I don't know. It just would not be the dinner party. That's the one where they go to Jan and Michael's house, and it's just incredibly painful. That's where Jan and Michael break up.
Yeah.
And it's horrible.
I do seem to remember that. I didn't follow it as closely as you did, because that's not humanly possible.
That's true.
The Christmas episode, what was the one where they did the Yankee swap, or
yeah,
the Yankee trader, or whatever you call
season,
that?
Season 2, Christmas party.
That's in consideration, huh?
For sure, yeah.
Well, so anyway, dinner party number 16 is on the list of top 100 TV episodes of all time. From West Wing, they went with an episode called Two Cathedrals. I won't get into it, but... it's not In Excelsis Deo, which would have been my pick, the Christmas episode.
You're biased to Christmas episodes, it sounds like.
Sounds like it, doesn't it? Okay, so now here we are in the top 10. This is number 10 on The Ringer's top 10 TV episodes since the year 2000.
No. No police. Where are you? Where's Holly? Walt!
What the hell is wrong with you? Why can't you do one thing I say?
What a voice. What a voice.
Oh, that was so stressful.
Breaking Bad. How do you pronounce the name of this episode?
I don't know. I don't know what episode it is, but it was close to the end.
Ozymandias.
Ozymandias.
Yeah, that's getting very close to the end of the show.
So stressful.
That being at number 10, I think, is one of the most controversial things about this list.
Why?
Well, we'll see what comes ahead of it in this top 10, but a lot of people... obviously not me, because I never made it to this point of Breaking Bad, but would argue this is irrefutably should be number one.
Yeah.
We don't have a clip from it, but number 9 is the pilot from The O.C.
Yeah.
Which is especially...
From the OC?
I mean...
insert outrage here.
I love that pick just because it's obviously...
It's what they do.
It's obnoxious. I think a lot of people thought that was particularly obnoxious. But you know what?
How dare you disrespect... Every single episode of Breaking Bad just had you killing yourself for the next episode. You could not wait till the next episode. And they weren't dropping whole seasons, right? You had to wait a week for the next episode, as I recall.
Yeah.
So you just had to live with that, and everyone was so good. Okay, so Ozymandias, the pilot for the OC. Number 8 was the Sopranos Pine Barrens episode. Number 7 on the Ringer's top 10 TV episodes since the year 2000 was...
I feel we owe it to the island's spirits that we have learned to come to know, to let it be in the end the way Mother Nature intended it to be, for the snake to eat the rat.
I think this is a good pick. I think this is appropriate.
What is that, Survivor?
Yeah.
That was the final four of the first season of Survivor.
So this is, I think, the season ender. It's the episode's called Final Four. Maybe it was the second to last, but it's...
They did a reunion after this one.
Okay, so that would have been the one then.
Yeah.
This is where Richard Hatch, do you remember that name? Crazy Richard Hatch. If you know Survivor, you know maybe two or three names from that show. Omarosa. No. Omarosa wasn't on The Survivor.
That's The Apprentice. Produced by Mark Burnett. So he was a real power player in the early 2000s reality TV space.
But Survivor, first couple of seasons, really had us hooked. People talked about it. They loved it. There was something new.
And I think one of the things about this list is that they wanted to remind you, even in the not-so-distant past, but still, even 10 years ago, there was event TV in a way that we don't have now because everything's so segmented and we're online and we're other places. So to remember the event that was, this new show that hadn't been on for, 15 weeks yet, but still everybody was glued to it.
And you didn't like Richard Hatch, and he was bizarre, and then he wins, and you go, wow. That's number 7. Number 6, The Wire, an episode called Middle Ground. Props to The Wire. Pick your episode. It deserves to be in the top 15 or 10 of somebody's list. That was just such good television. Number 5 on The Ringer's top 10 TV episodes this century.
What did the 5 fingers say to the face?
What?
Slap!
Okay, you don't understand a word of that. What was that, Griff?
That was Dave Chappelle as Rick James. That was the Rick James episode of Chappelle's Show, slapping Charlie Murphy in the face. Now, Charlie Murphy, so it's Dave Chappelle playing Rick James, Charlie Murphy playing Charlie Murphy, and telling the story of his interactions with Rick James in the 80s.
Who's Charlie Murphy?
In 90s. Eddie Murphy's brother.
So Eddie Murphy's brother had some interaction with famous people, obviously.
Right.
One of them is Rick James.
And just incredible stories about them. And he would tell them to the camera, and then they would reenact them, and that's Dave Chappelle in the reenactment. And then they get corroborating interviews from Rick James that are also cut in, where they say, this is what Charlie said happened. And he goes, yeah, I did that.
And it's crazy stuff. And then they're there going, yeah, we did that.
Yeah. And it was obviously maybe not the episode of Chappelle's Show I would pick, because I was also just the biggest fan, but the most famous one for sure.
Well, what is some of the skits, or what would be the episode? Because I think of them as sketches.
Yeah. I would have to go back and look at how sketches were grouped and see maybe this is particularly the best episode. But
which one was the racial draft on or something like that?
Yeah, that would be a great one. The black-white supremacist. Actually, that's coming back up with Black Klansman coming out this weekend.
Yeah, no kidding.
That was the first episode of Chappelle's Show where he was a blind black man who thought he was white and was a white supremacist. That's kind of one of the best they ever did, too.
How about Dave Chappelle, number 5 on best episodes this century in the last 18 years? Number 4 is from True Detective, Who Goes There?
That was the single take that lasted about 6 minutes that they did at the end of that episode that was had everybody freaking out.
Signature. Okay, here's number 3 from The Ringer's top 10 TV episodes since the year 2000.
My king has married, and I owe my new queen a wedding gift.
Oh, no. Oh, no. Oh, no. All right,
the Red Wedding.
Oh.
I wanted to fade out before you start hearing the
slash. I think you have to. I know. It's not visual. And we
I
only
think
have...
you have to. We didn't.
We just gave...
but we had to, and we should have, and I'm sorry.
We just gave you one throat slashing there. I don't know what's worse, the sound of the slash or the sound of the sharp sword or knife coming out from it.
Isn't the clip that you can't actually hear is she pulls a man's sleeve up that's sitting next to her and sees that there's chainmail underneath it. And that's how she knows. That's the.
They're already in armor, so they're ready to
fight.
Oh, I see.
That's the gut punch.
Underneath their wedding clothes.
It's supposed to be a party. She sees chainmail, and that's when she knows.
Why would you wear chainmail to a wedding?
And the doors close.
That can't be comfortable. Uh-oh.
And nobody leaves.
And that was less time ago, but again, that was event TV that everybody was posting about the next day.
Is that the right episode from Game of Thrones then? Probably.
Yeah, I think you could argue it, but...
There's so many good ones. I think all of their finales for the seasons were...
Well, Griff, you said that Breaking Bad, Ozymandias should be in the top three, number one.
That's not a personal belief because, again, I didn't watch it, but a lot of people were mad that it wasn't up here.
Okay, but Game of Thrones belongs there in the top five, top three. I'm comfortable with Game of Thrones episode being there.
Sure.
So then what are the number two and the number one? We'll finish this in a minute on WGN. I get to play this twice, Griff. Tommy James and the Shondells. From Breaking Bad, didn't make the top 100. Look over yonder. Somewhere Tommy James is going, this is not Tommy James and the Shondells, Crystal Blue Persuasion from Breaking Bad. Breaking Bad borrowed our song. Most definitely. But I think they'd be very thankful because I'll bet they made a lot of money after that episode. I'll bet a lot of people went online and got or bought that song.
Now, that episode didn't make it, I want to be clear.
Right, it did not.
But
I'm just featuring it.
Breaking Bad was number 10 on the list.
Ozymandias, and that's the episode that you said some people thought should be number one. So we've been walking through The Ringer's top TV episode since the year 2000. They have 100. Number 10 was Breaking Bad, Ozymandias. Then the the pilot from OC, the OC. Number 8 was The Sopranos, an episode called Pine Barrens. Number 7 was the season finale for season 1 of Survivor. The Wire's Middle Ground episode was 6. An episode from Dave Chappelle was 5. True Detectives, Who Goes There was 4. And Game of Thrones, Red Wedding, it was called The Reigns of Castamere, was number 3. Number 2 was...
That's the way it works. There are no credits on commercials.
Then you got the Clio.
It's your job. I give you money, you give me ideas.
Then you never say thank you.
That's what the money is for.
Every now and then, there's a refrain that you'll hear at my house. Every now and then, that's what the money is for. If somebody doesn't give you the appreciation that you deserve, if they don't say thank you enough, you just look at them and say, that's what the money is for!
I'll take the money over a thank you.
Well, she was looking for both. That's Peggy and Don. They'd worked hard on a campaign. I think she'd gotten a promotion, too.
Well, she'd been promoted a couple times. She started as his secretary. She's now a copywriter.
Yeah.
She had the idea for a commercial for a floor cleaner called Glow Coat, for which Don ended up winning
a Clio,
an award. And he did not really give her a thank you, and he didn't make a speech or anything, but he won the award and did not tell anybody else, really, that she kind of had the seed of the idea, and he added to it. And that had been simmering for about a whole season. It seems minor, but that had been...
Don't you love it, though, when something has a payoff? You know, they bring it back.
And everyone remembers Don's line from that because it's classic. But if you watch the episode, he's being a jerk, as usual. But, like, she's kind of right. They're both a little right. It's hard to tell. And that's why it's so good, I think, is that... It's kind of hard to pick one side.
They never made Don Draper anything that he wasn't. He was always flawed. He was always awful to people. He was always going to, you know, have affairs. He was never going to be there for his kids. All the things you'd want somebody to eventually do to redeem the character, Don was not capable of.
And this is about exactly halfway through the series. And I think the story of the series is Don's descent into just sadness and Peggy's rise into being a truly successful ad person. And this is like them meeting in the middle.
True.
He's uncomfortable with how much she's risen, and she is annoyed with him, and this is where they truly clash the best in the whole show.
Yeah, as equals, maybe for the first time.
And this is in the middle of the episode, and then they talk it out and actually grow much closer by the end. This is not the end of the episode. That's worth noting.
I like that he never made a move on her, and he never made a move on Joan, which was nice. Okay, so props to you for that, Donnie. Okay, so number one on the list, then, is this.
I've been on an island. Oh, my God, Penny, is that really you?
Yeah. Yes, it's me.
You believe me?
What is that?
Is that Lost?
Lost. Ding, 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 that's Lost. The episode's called The Constant.
From season 4.
So it's not the season finale or the episode or anything?
No, also kind of right there in the middle of the show.
Yeah.
The giveaway for me was, haven't seen you or something to that effect.
Yeah, right.
It's like, can't. Yeah, it's got to be.
This was not long after Jack said we have to go back. And this is Desmond learning more about Desmond's ability to travel through time.
I want the record to show that I want to take back all of the terrible things I said about the series finale. When that show was over and it was all about love and I was just so underwhelmed with it, and I said things on the radio about it that I'd like to take back. Listen, don't worry about me. I'll be fine. Okay, it's 2:00. It's time for the news. Oh, so anyway, thanks, Griff, for walking us through that. That list, all 100 of them, and it's a good website because they literally have the scenes that we've been featuring. You can click on and watch them for 100 episodes. The Ringers, top 10 episodes for the year 2000. We featured here. They did it for 100.
Thinking big thoughts, so you don't have to.
Got another one.
Here's John Williams.
That'd be 2 today. Mm-hmm. That's what we do for you. Think big thoughts. This is John Williams all the way till 3 on Saturdays. We go 10 a.m. till 12 noon on social media. Look for us, WGN King John. That's me on Facebook, Insta, and Twitter. And subscribe to the Mincing Rascals podcast. The Mincing Rascals podcast won the Lissiger Award this year for Best Podcast in Chicago. The Mincing Rascals features our own Steve Bertrand. It often includes Patty Vasquez, who you hear with Andrea Darlis here, 7:00 weeknights, and Justin Kaufman, who's on with Steve Cochran in the mornings, and then a bunch of our smart friends from the Tribune, Eric Zorn, Christian McQuarrie, Scott Stantis. That's the Mincing Rascals. And the gang kicked around some of the things that we kick around here. We feature some of it on our Saturday show. The podcast broadcast is Saturdays at 11 a.m. Yesterday, the day before, we've been talking a little bit this week about environmental concerns. You know, should you use a mug or a styrofoam cup? A mug or a styrofoam cup? Paper or plastic? What's better or worse for the universe? Is this plastic straw thing really all it's cranked up to be? We feel good about no longer using plastic straws. Does that really help Earth? And I remember that there was this guy, John Tierney, who wrote a couple of pieces in the New York Times. So we called him up again to talk to us about these things. And he did nothing but agitate people and confuse matters. I thought he was crystal clear about it. And the takeaway for me was that, in general, all of our hypervigilance about recycling is either wasted effort or sometimes counterproductive. And that if you recycle 3 things: paper, cardboard, aluminum cans. After that, you're probably not doing much good. And if you don't, he says, you're not doing much harm.
Oh, John, that's a terrible message. Don't put that on the radio.
I was drinking a LaCroix this morning, and I'm like, huh, what are the 3 things I'm supposed to recycle?
LaCroix is one of them.
Yes. Wait. I was trying to go through it. I'm like, paper. I couldn't get further than paper.
Cardboard, aluminum cans.
You condensed his ideas down to 2 points, and one sounded terrible, and then one I could probably get behind, but they're very different. You said, like, either our efforts in this matter are either completely useless or sometimes counterproductive. Let's go with the second one. I think that I can get behind, and that's why I liked listening to him talk. It is sometimes counterproductive, and not everyone knows what, you know, we're not all experts in this, and we just do what we're told. And maybe sometimes what we're told is counterproductive, but
useless.
He was so strong on that.
I know. Well, and the example I was thinking of
and it was
hard
to hear.
Paper straws. He said paper straws take more energy to make than the plastic straws. You throw away the paper straws, they're going to be there for a zillion years. And the plastic straws aren't so bad, he said.
But what's the conspiracy? Why have we been told the wrong information?
He likened it to religion. That there's, I mean, look, if we all do little things, that's good. You know, I mean, say that what you're doing does no harm. Or say that it just has a scintilla of good for the earth. He thinks that the good you feel is disproportionate to the good you're doing, and he likened it to religion. He said, so we do these little acts, and we feel good about it, and we say, okay, good, I did Earth a solid. You haven't done Earth squat. You really aren't making a difference with that, he says.
Right. We read our rosaries, but we're going to die anyway.
Right. Or, you know, I mean, something along those lines, yeah. That was Griff reacting to my analysis.
I liked when he said that religion thing. I thought, there's probably something to
that. I know that, but, I know, which just, you know, further endeared him to our listeners, I know.
But it keeps us happy while we're here.
I know. Well, that's, and so you listen.
Well, that's the thing. And you could take that and say, it makes people feel good, so just let them be.
I know. Right. Well,
but if you let too many things slide in that way, then it's a lot of people doing nothing when there actually are things that we could be doing.
There you go. Because they go, well, now what do I got to do? You want me to stop driving my SUV? I already use paper straws. And he's like, wait a minute. That's the very danger of this sort of...
Well, and on top of that, they're shaming if you don't recycle. So if there's going to be shaming towards not following the way, that's not even helping anything.
Right. You can't shame me for using a plastic straw. There's no dolphins here. And I'm telling you, that's not the problem with the glob out in the ocean that's the size of Manhattan. It's not us, and it's not straws. And if you have a pelican with a straw in its ear right now, I feel bad for that pelican. But macro, that's not the problem. Okay, so John Tierney, he's the guy that got us going on this. And he may be our guest again. Although, to be fair, Griffin next week has to find somebody that will refute everything he said to completely muddy the waters.
We gave him 10 minutes and we're still going on it 4 days later. If we gave him an hour, like, you'd have shows set for 6 months.
Okay, so John Tierney, that guy, was on the CBS Morning News today. He was not talking about environmentalism. He was talking about the value of vacations.
Science is very clear on this. That, you know, people who take more vacations, they have fewer heart attacks, they suffer less from depression. They're actually more productive at work, too. You know, so it's good for your body because it reduces your stress hormones, it boosts your immune system, and it's really good for your mind because doing new things stimulates dopamine activity in your brain, and that gives you more optimism and more energy.
Makes total sense to me. What's the ideal length of a vacation?
Probably more short vacations rather than one long one. Because
What is short? Your definition of short?
I mean, I think a week is good. You could even do shorter than that, but one of the big advantages of vacations is that it's the anticipation beforehand. Makes you happy.
Yes.
For one or two months beforehand. So the more you can do that, the better.
Boy, isn't that the truth.
Where are we going to vacation if there's plastic straws everywhere? The coral reefs are dying.
I was going to say, this is him saying something that we can all get behind, right? No, we can still get back to that other part, though.
It's so true. Judy Pilak walked into the studio during the news. She and I just bought a couple of Powerball tickets, and we're not going to win. I'm already enjoying the opportunity. That dollar or two that we've invested is actually something in anticipation that is physically good for me. Christmas Eve is better for you than Christmas Day, and on it goes. So take vacations, take more shorter, don't do 2 weeks. I mean, do whatever you want, but he's suggesting you'd be better off maybe having four-day vacations than 1 2-week vacation. And I think there's some sense in that, too.
If you listen to it, I watched his whole segment there, and he said, take shorter vacations, you know, a week. And I was like, wow.
That's a long vacation.
For those of us with 2 weeks, that's half of our vacation.
I would love to be in that mindset.
I'm just going to do a quick trip for a week.
I love those people that say, well, you know, you got to take two because it takes about 4 or 5 days just to get into that whole vacation mindset. I thought, 4 or 5 days, I'm packing to come back. I'm not just getting into a groove. Listen, speaking of getting into a groove, I hope that the NFL does not devolve this year into the whole kneeing controversy. It really took a lot of the fun out of last year's NFL games. I don't recall it spilling over to into college. I see Kevin's over in Sportsland getting ready to sit in with Rowan and Anna and a few. But Kevin, I know players on the Dolphins and other teams took a knee at these exhibition games.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if they're making the statement now when it's less expensive and when the regular season comes around, these guys won't be doing this.
Well, to get everybody caught up on this, there was that rule put in place by the NFL owners that you have to be inside the locker room. If you're on the field, if you're a player or a member of the team, you have to be standing. Then,
for the national anthem.
For the national anthem. Then a couple weeks ago, they said, well, I don't know. And then the NFLPA stepped in, of course, and they were upset about it. And they said, well, we're in talks about making a new rule or in talks about what should be in place. So for the next 3 or 4 weeks, we're not going to put any discipline on players if they are kneeling.
During the exhibition season.
During the anthem, yes. So they are currently in talks of what to do with this.
Right.
If I were the NFL, I would just leave it alone. Don't take a stance on it.
You mean rescind the rule?
Sure.
Yeah,
it's so exhausting and deflating, isn't it?
It is. It is.
It's just, you hear somebody say national anthem policy, and everyone just like runs and hides. Like, really? Come on. This is one of those issues in America that everybody has already made up their mind about. Period. So you either think they should stand or you think it's disrespectful to the flag and un-American if they're kneeling, right? Isn't that how everybody feels about this?
Yeah, it's because I think what this is about really I guess it's about whatever you decide it's about, but what the players are taking a knee over is not the flag and patriotism.
It was brutality and social injustice.
And nobody's getting that message.
Right, and that's what's upsetting about it, too. I mean, the whole thing is just unfortunate. You know, and certain people in this country are taking advantage of it and... You know, currently attempting to divide people over this issue. But it is exhausting. I think the NFL should just kind of stay away from it and let it's the players' league. I was on record with you, John, saying, look, if the owners don't want them to kneel, it is their league. But the players are clearly fighting back, and you're going to lose viewers. Numbers are still huge and everything, but it takes a lot of the fun out of it, as you said, John.
So the news click. So I'm hesitant then, but we made the news click about this. But
we
gave you three options. You know, I'm with the players, and they should take a knee. Or I'm with the players. I see their point, but don't take a knee. Or I'm with the owners. Force them to take a knee, or force them to stand during the national anthem. So mm-hmm. I think there may be other options out there in your mind, but those are the three that we've identified, and we've asked you to vote with your mouse at WGNradio.com on the news click. Now, if you have something else that we need to know about this, you have something else to say about this, I'm interested.
Everybody's got something to say about it, John.
My number is 312-981-7200. Call if you agree with me. Let's just do that. Hey, if you agree with me, give me a call. 312-981-7200. You can also text to that number. Oh, and by the way, the Cubs are down 3-0 or
2-0.
2-0.
Bottom of the third.
You know, we can't beat the worst team in baseball. The Nats should be a really good series. A lot of red hats walking around Chicago today, man.
Yeah, well, Washington, of course, we remember back to that NLDS between the Cubs that went 5 games last year. And Washington was going into the season and projected to be another playoff team, probably going to win the NL East. But all of a sudden, they're 4.5 games out of the wild card. They're third place in their division, so they're fighting for playoff life right now, probably in Bryce Harper's last year with that team. So they've got a lot to play for. They still have their eyes set on the postseason, but sort of a down year, a lot of injuries, some underperformance from some players. But, I expect it to be a really good series. The NLDS last year was one of the most intense playoff series I've ever watched. It was white knuckle type stuff the whole series.
Sox are playing at home against Cleveland tonight, 7:10. Mm-hmm. The first pitch. You'll hear our pregame coverage at 6:40 on WGM. Okay, 312-981-7200. Your thoughts today about the specter of a national anthem controversy this NFL season. Let's talk to Dustin. Hey, Dustin, this is John. How are you?
Hey, Dennis. I love the show.
Thank you. I appreciate you listening. What can I do for you?
Just want to comment on the whole idea of the protesting during the national anthem.
Yeah.
Here are my thoughts, and just mine solely. I think people are missing the point. These guys are protesting on a platform where some people just don't have a voice. If you look at the third stanza of the Star-Spangled Banner written by Francis Scott Key, he was a well-known abolitionist. I think that's self-explanatory in that sense. It's like this, and not to be derogatory to anyone. Would you ask a young Jewish child to go to Hail Hitler High School? I mean, how would that sit well with his family, the culture, the background? You know what I mean? So doing it silently, doing it peacefully, that's a beautiful thing. Everybody has a God-given, unalienable right to protest. People are missing the point in regards to that and just the nastiness about it. And furthermore, I don't agree with our president tweeting out the fact that, you know, these guys should be fired and yada, yada, yada. No, now you're messing with people's livelihood.
Yeah.
You're basically saying, I don't have a voice. You know, just shut up and play ball, do your job. I mean, that's not good for anyone. You know, I think we live in a world where your opinion is just as valuable as mine, and we take pieces from each other as we may, and we go about our business. And, you know, that's all.
Yeah, I appreciate the phone call. Thanks, Dustin. Francis Scott Key was a slaveholder. Founding fathers were too. My friend Thomas Jefferson had more than he cares to admit to today. He'll be on stage with us next week, and we'll be talking about that. I'll be asking TJ about some of the issues that surround this. So thanks for the phone call on that. And, you know, it's like Kevin said. I want to watch a baseball game. I want to watch a football game. I want to watch a hockey game. I have a place for this conversation. It's important. But I don't think we have to mingle the two, especially since that's not why the players are taking a knee. They're not upset with Francis Scott Key or the third stanza of the national anthem. They're upset with police brutality, and they're peacefully making a protest. And it is not all of that disruptive, but Lord, it's been divisive. When I get to be king,
yeah,
there's no answer.
Ruler for life.
See, that's the luxury, because what are you going to do? I'm king. When I get to be king, the players will do whatever they want. You don't have to put the camera on them if you don't want, and we will play football. The news, I just heard an inhale.
Was me. I know we got news.
Hey, if you want to go see that, I did all that talking about Thomas Jefferson, and I meant to say, hey, if you want tickets, text TJ to 312-981-7200. Is that the phone number here? 312-981-7200. Text TJ to 312-981-7200. We'll randomly pick from one of the texts, and if yours is the one we pick, we'll send you to the 1 o'clock Jefferson show. You will be glad you went. Also, we're about to do our Fun Things to Do segment, and I just wanted to mention this. Violetta just strolled into our Studio D2. Griff's ready as well. But I often ask my friends, the Petersons, Mark and Polly, they live in the West Loop.
Mm-hmm.
They're really committed to doing Chicago. So I always ask them, what is something you guys are doing this weekend? And Polly just texted, hey, I just came back from the open rehearsal for the Grant Park Festival performance tonight and tomorrow night at Pritzker Pavilion, you know, over by the Bean. They are featuring 25-year-old cellist from Spain named Pablo Fernandez.
Mm.
He was amazing. It's free, 6:30 tonight, 7:30 tomorrow. Last week we discovered free jazz concerts at the Polk Brothers Park on the south side of Navy Pier. It's beautiful to sit on the lawn and look at the water and the pier. You can bring your chairs and a picnic or buy food and a drink on the pier and walk over. 6:30 to 8:30 tonight's performance is Let Freedom Sing with D. Alexander. Retro on Roscoe is a fun musical festival with oldies music. We're not going to the hot dog fest at the History Museum. Mark sent me a text and said we went there last year and it was pretty good. So
we are Chicago. You got to go to the hot dog fest.
Another weekend in the life of the Petersons. Thank you, Polly. Fridays at this time, we feature fun things to do. How did you know they were going to say that?
I just knew.
All right, what are we doing here, Griff?
This is Beyonce and Jay-Z.
Beyonce and Jay-Z. All right, you do that one. What do we got here?
Well, Soldier Field, Queen Bee and Jay-Z are going to be there performing. That is on Friday, tonight, and Saturday, starting at 7:30. There are still tickets available, going from $80 all the way up to $400. You can find those at VividSeats.com, Ticketmaster, or StubHub.
You want fun things to do? I say Cleveland's in town tonight. The Sox play at 7:10. Go tomorrow night on the South Side, 6:10. Sunday, they got a matinee at 1:10. Cubs and Nats are playing right now. They got a 3:05 on Saturday, a 7:05 on Sunday. Baseball's in Chicago this weekend. All right, Griff, what do you got?
The My House Music Festival in Tilson at Cermak and Morgan is Saturday and Sunday, noon to 10 p.m. They're raising awareness for local charitable organizations through house music. Tim Spin and Shammer and Kenny Jam and Jason will be there.
Oh, yeah.
Among many others. Admission is free, and you can make donations at the entrance.
Go.
On the northwest side, we got Oriole Park Country Music Festival going on Saturday, noon to 10 p.m., and that's music and a mechanical bull. Hello.
You buried the lead. Where do I go for the mechanical bull?
The Oriole Park Music Country Music Festival on the northwest side.
I'm going to the Lung Force Walk on Sunday. Are you going to join us? Details at lungforcewalkchicago.org. We're walking for the American Lung Association. We'll be over at Soldier Field. Remember, if you walk with us on Sunday, free admission to the planetarium and half off over at the field.
On Saturday, the 89th annual Bud Billiken Parade starts.
You got to turn the music down when you're doing your thing, kids. Go.
Sorry.
Take it from the top. Three, two, one.
On Saturday, the 89th annual Bud Billiken Parade starts at 10 a.m. from Martin Luther King Drive and Oakwood Boulevard all the way to 55th and Ellsworth. Second largest parade in the nation. Marching bands, drill and dance teams, cheer and tumbling groups. It's free. Of course, info at budbillikenparade.org.
That's one of the funnest parades in the city to watch. That is really good. Violetta, give me something to do this weekend.
The Kite Festival is going on at the Botanic Gardens. I've never flown a kite, but it's on my bucket list for life. And that is Saturday and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. Free admission. You do have to pay for parking, which is $30. But that just seems like so much fun.
Horatio Sands told Steve Cochran this morning that he recently became a U.S. citizen. He talked about the test he had to take. When I get to be king, you will not be allowed to be a citizen until you've flown a kite. You cannot be a member of this United States community. You ain't never flown a kite?
No, I've never even held one. I've never even seen someone fly a kite.
You know what kites are, right?
Those little bows, the three bows. I've drawn a kite.
Okay, here's my recommendation. I'll do the Chicago Hot Dog Fest, organized by the Chicago History Museum, serving dogs from Byron's and Edzo's and Chicago Doghouse and more. They ask for a $5 donation. Go to chicagohistory.org to find out more. They're in Lincoln Park from 11 to 8 through Sunday. Griffin, give us something to do this weekend.
You could see Black Klansman, the new movie from Spike Lee. It opens wide in Chicago this weekend. Many are calling it a return to form for director-writer Spike Lee. Remember, he had Chi-Raq that came out a couple years ago to very mixed reviews, especially here in the city of Chicago. This is co-produced by Jordan Peele from Get Out. He wrote and directed that one, and 98% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Have you seen this movie yet?
No.
Yeah. Be interested to hear your review, too. All right, Violetta, let's all do one more.
The Arlington Million is Saturday, 10:30 a.m., $30 admission. Most attended event of the summer. It's a free concert, also from Eric Paisley. So that's a country concert, horses, hats, what's not to love?
Brookfield Zoo's summer nights are in Brookfield, 4 to 9 today, 4 to 9 tomorrow, 4 to 9 the next day. They've got music, enhanced food, beer and wine, garden, and a laser light show. The music starts at 7 p.m. tonight.
You buried the lead with the laser light show.
Laser light show. Where do I got to be? The Brookfield Zoo. Hello. The Hillbilly Rock Stars perform, and the Ultimate Tom Petty Experience is part of the music lineup at the Brookfield Zoo. Find out more at CZS.org, as in Chicago Zoological Society, CZS.org. That's the Brookfield Summer Night in Brookfield. Okay, time for The Bright Side. We do it on Fridays at this time. It is sponsored by our friends at the Joint Relief Institute. Here's our little song.
Some things in life are bad. They can really make you mad. Other things just make you swear and curse. When your
you're chewing on life's gristle. Back, grumble. Give a whistle.
Kevin's gonna whistle.
And this'll help things turn out for the best.
Watch this.
And always look on the bright side of life. Always look on the light side of life.
You know, Kevin, you do a lot of good things for us here. That's going to be your signature. They're going to go, you know, you'll be doing great sports. You'll be doing shows and brilliant insights and funny chuckles. And at events, they're going to go, are you the guy that whistles on the radio? We love it when you whistle.
Always look on the bright side of life.
Hey, we got a winner on the White Sox tickets. We've got a winner for White Sox tickets. So don't call for White Sox tickets now. Just call to tell us what the good news is, why you are smiling. 312-981-7200. Or you can text to 312-981-7200. Violetta will read the text, and I'll take your calls. Give us some good news. First, we do it ourselves. Hey, V, give me some good news in your world. Why are you smiling?
Well, I'm going to be celebrating a friend that just got engaged. I can't say who, because it's a surprise, and I'm not supposed to tell anyone, so...
Never mind. Kevin, why are you smiling today?
Jan, I got a couple beautiful New York strips just waiting for me in the fridge to get home, fire up the grill, crack a Miller Lite, go to town on some red meat, can't wait.
I got the same thing planned for tonight, only it's weenies and hamburgers.
Hey, that's fine. Here, two New York strips, John. Somebody cancel them on me. If you want to drive out to the burbs, I'll throw a New York strip on the grill for you.
I'd take you up on that, but I got family coming. Okay. It would look bad if they're all standing there with hot dogs. Where's John?
You're sending a picture, consuming a nice cut.
We'll start with Dan. Dan, you're on WGN. Thanks for calling in. Dan on line four. Why are you smiling? You're on the bright side.
Hey, John, it's Dan Phillips from Peoria. How are you doing?
Long time, Dan Phillips from Peoria. What's your bright side?
My daughter, Maddie, graduated from National Lewis University and got a job teaching in the Chicago public school system.
She's going to do great. Wow.
So the good news, you can start to pay back her student loan.
Pay taxes. Come up and see me sometime, Dan.
I will, John. Thanks, buddy.
Always look on the right side of life.
Hey, Mary, you're on WGN. What's your bright side? Why are you smiling?
Hey, John, I am on my way to the Illinois State Fair. I want to go see the butter cow and eat some corn dogs.
Who wouldn't?
Thank you, Mary. I'm glad somebody's going to the fair. It is, it's not part of my routine, but I'm glad there still is a state fair and people go to it.
Of course.
It's a beautiful thing. Pat's on line five. Why are you smiling, Pat? You're on WGN.
Hi, John.
Hey, Pat.
So, Sunday's my birthday, and I'm going to see Steve Martin and Martin Short at Ravinia to celebrate.
Oh, wow. Oh, are they there this weekend?
They are, Sunday night. Oh, just for my birthday. I'm sure that's why they picked a date.
Happy birthday!
That is going to be
so fun.
Call me back. I'm excited. I haven't seen Steve Martin ever, but I haven't seen him do stand-up in years, and I hope it's as fun as I'm fondly anticipating it for you. Have a great time.
Thank you.
Thanks, Pat. Call me back with a review. Give me some bright side. What did they text him?
We have 708 saying, even though everyone thinks the summer is over, it's not. September is my favorite weather. 815 says, my wife is coming home tomorrow after a week-long trip. I'm happy, I think. That guy.
We don't judge other people's happiness. If it makes you happy, you get to say it, however you want to say it. This is Flora. You're on WGN. What's your bright side, Flora?
My bright side is I'm headed to Elgin, Illinois for a fun-filled family weekend, starting with a night at the Marriott tonight and a family reunion on Sunday.
What's the name of the family, Flora?
The Gelbner family reunion. We used to all be from the Adams Playground in Chicago, North Side, the Armitage in Sheffield area.
Have a great weekend. You've got good weather coming your way, Flora.
Yeah, we are. You have a great weekend too, King John.
Read one. What have you got?
2920 says her lab, Sophie's baseball size tumor was benign. There was an 80% chance that it was cancer, and the little pup is doing good.
Hey, Jeff, you're on WGN. What's your bright side?
Hi, John. This is Jeff. I've just picked up my kids after 4 weeks at overnight camp in Decatur, Michigan.
Oh, wow.
Family's finally back together again at the perfect end to a perfect summer.
What's the arc on that? You're anxious for them to go? You miss them? How does that go?
The day that they leave is like Christmas morning. The parents are happy. The kids are happy.
Yeah.
Everybody's happy, and everybody's happy to have everybody home.
Have a great last few weeks of summer here, my friend.
You do the same. Thank you very much.
All right, V, you're up.
630 says, taking my firstborn to college this weekend, smiling through the tears. And 708 is having a staycation with her husband.
This is Jenny. You're on WGN. Why are you smiling, Jenny? Hey, Jenny.
I think she's waiting at a train stop.
Jenny is going to join us again in a few. She said she just saw her grandson get married. That sounds like fun. And Lisa's on line four. Hey, Lisa, this is Sean.
Hi, John. Love you. Love the show.
Thank you.
I'm very happy today. Sunday, I'm going to be watching the Blue Island Brewmasters take on the Lamont Quarrymen here at the Gaswork Grounds in Blue Island. They play baseball with the rules from 1858.
Oh, that sounds fun. So that's, I think, I'm trying to remember now, you get more balls and more strikes for one thing.
You gotta fully swing and miss the ball for it to be a strike. Foul balls are not considered a strike.
And do they wear the old wool uniforms and all of that?
They wear the old uniforms. They play with the old balls, no mitts.
Where is that going to be?
They carry on with the old lingo.
Oh, wow. Where are they doing that?
It's here in Blue Island. There are six teams in the league, and the Blue Island Brewmasters are taking on the Lamont Quarrymen. It's at the corners of James and Ann Streets behind the First Lutheran Church here in Blue Island.
Have fun. Thanks for sharing that. I want to go. That sounds like fun. Violetta, read another one.
847, I caught a 6.5-pound largemouth bass today, and no, he's not going to tell us where. 708 says, my son just graduated from Marine boot camp, and they're proud parents.
Hey, Don, why are you smiling? You're on, man.
Hey, King John, I love your show. I'm smiling because I just left the Shedd Aquarium, where my daughter, who's interning, gave me a private tour.
Oh, yeah. I haven't been there in a while. How's it look?
It was wonderful. She's so excited. Speeding sharks. It was wonderful.
Does it still smell like fish?
Yeah, a little bit.
Well, that's okay. It's just wondering.
I'm just curious. Aquarium.
The Shedd Aquarium. What a great place to look back on at the city, right?
It's fabulous. They've done an amazing job keeping it up.
Have a great weekend. Thank you, Don. Appreciate the call. Congrats to your daughter. All right, Violetta, you're up.
847 says, last day of radiation. 815 says, got my mower fixed. I'm spending the weekend mowing. And 630, keeping it simple, it's Friday.
Meg, you're on WGM. What's your bright side?
My bright side is my daughter is driving home from Ohio. She's finished her internship, and she got offered a full-time job after she graduates next May. And I just found a $20 bill at the gas pump.
Oh, wow.
You know, that's not fair. You're just having too much good news. You got to share that.
I know. It's just too good of a day.
Hey, Jerry, you're on WGN. Why are you smiling today, Jerry?
I have a bunch of things. My sixth grandchild was born on Wednesday night. My wife gets released from the nursing home from a broken ankle. She finally can work on it after 10 weeks. When you're feeling it.
Still there, Jerry? All right, Jerry, thanks for the call. All right, we're getting close to the end here, Violetta. What have you got?
847. I'm walking for exercise and just found 30 cents. Woohoo.
What's the most money you've ever found? Walking along? What's the most money you ever found?
Probably just like $5.
I found a 20 one time, and it was like 1980. So that was when $20 was like a dinner for two.
Yeah, that's a lot.
I remember stopping the car, getting out, running in a parking lot, thinking that can't be money. It was a $20 bill. Can that be my bright side? We do this on Fridays. We ask you to call in or text 312-981-7200. Tell us some good news in your world while you're smiling.
Today is, we're taking you right up to 6:30, and then
then it's up to the White Sox to entertain and inform.
Yes, exactly. when there's only half an hour left, they let us go home.
Wow.
That's how they do that.
Nice.
But if there's 31 minutes left, we got to do the whole thing.
We'll
it's a whole kind of a deal that goes on. But it's going to be a solid 3.5 hours because we've got one of my favorite bands actually is going to be in doing Live Music Fridays, a band called Lonesome Still, which is a Chicago-based sort of country and old school Western band that does really dark songs. As a matter of fact, I'll tell the story a little bit later on. I saw them at a park festival last week.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, one of the songs is really about, trying to cover the pain of life with, drugs and alcohol and, maybe even, attempted suicide. And they do this song and it's an interesting song. It's great. And it's a kind of a bluesy number.
Mm-hmm.
And then, but it was like all these families with their little kids running around and like dancing to it.
Like, are they listening to the lyrics here? Yeah,
well, I was just really hoping they weren't. So we're going to get them to play that here because I think it was kind of fun. And we got Mr. Hogue is going to be here to talk about the Bears. I don't know if you saw them last night.
I did not, but don't you think we're rushing? I mean, I know the Bears aren't going to win the Super Bowl this year.
No,
but
we're not rushing. The season's over, John. They look awful. They're not going to make the playoffs again.
We're done.
This is not an overreaction. They look sloppy.
It's really awful.
OB might have a similar read when he joins us later.
Yeah.
Like I said, the Bears suck, and
it's gonna be
seen
something.
All that we need to see.
It's going to be something. Actually, OB's not on the program.
Oh, Hogue is on.
No, Hogue is on.
We'll break it down somehow, some way.
So I just don't want to scare OB. Like, oh, my God.
He's like,
I got to get to the phone.
We'd love to have him.
Yeah.
I'll be listening, you guys. Have a good weekend.
Thanks, John.